Calvin, did you notice the difference in the scriptures inside the bulletin and those on the back yet?
Yes.
I figured if anybody would, Calvin would. He always catches these things. My fault this time.
Well, adoption match, so I thought it might be the right one.
It fits thematically. But I'll tell you what happened. When going through the lectionary, I bought a book that has all the lectionary readings in it. You know, instead of having to look them up, maybe it's lazy, but you know, it's kind of nice to have it. And the lectionary is a way to go through scriptures on a 3-year cycle, so we really cover a big part of scriptures. And being that this is the second Sunday after Christmas, numerically, I just picked up the second Sunday reading. But technically, this is Epiphany Sunday, so I messed up. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I made a mistake was I was so excited when I read the scriptures. I was so excited that the gospel reading and the epistle reading and the reading from the Old Testament from Jeremiah were there. And when I discovered this morning the discrepancy, I said, man, if I don't preach on this, I got to wait another 3 years. And I don't want to do that. Plus, I spent all week getting ready for it. It is such a powerful message to you and me that by grace, we are adopted into the family of God. No matter how badly our family treats us, No matter how awful the things that separate us as an earthly family, we always have a family because of Jesus Christ. We have people to go to comfort us, love us, care for us, correct us, point us in the right direction, help us change our minds sometimes when we're thinking wrong. That God has adopted us into a family through His Son, Christ Jesus. And these scriptures are just so beautiful. This Christ who existed before the world existed is the source of our creation. And about 2 months ago, I read a book by Robert Mulholland, and I want to give him full credit. Because it really is changing my life. And you've heard me mention this concept before, but here it is, right in this writing from Ephesians. Robert Mulholland, a professor of New Testament interpretation at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, wrote a book called Shaped by the Word. And this is one of our Methodist seminaries, our evangelical Methodist seminary. I mean, they're just real gospel-preaching people at Asbury Seminary. And when I read this book, he came to this passage that we have in our reading today from Ephesians. That in most of our Bibles, the verse 4 is translated, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. Which is a perfectly legitimate translation of the Greek. Now, the two Greek words that are translated chosen is eklektos. And if you break those into the two words, that ek means from, coming forth from something. And lego means to speak. So if you translated that verse literally, God's message to you and me that Paul is sharing and excited about in this passage where he's talking about what a wonderful inheritance we have in Christ is that just as God spoke us forth before the foundations of the world, now, where have we heard that phrase before? God spoke and something happened. I want an answer. Don't just sit there. Huh? Creation. That was one of the questions one of the young people asked when we were looking through the first three chapters of the book of Genesis on our retreat. Did God really say in English, "Let there be light"? And I said, not likely. Probably wasn't even Hebrew. It was God talk, whatever that is. But in reality, what it was saying is God thought moon and stars and said moon and moon and stars appeared. That God thought light and light appeared. That God thought water and said water and water appeared. That when God speaks in His almighty voice, creation takes place. And our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the Gospel of John just told us, that Christ was there before the creation of the world. And all things that were created through Him. That He was there with the Father speaking forth every one of us. That God spoke forth our spirit into existence. In eternity, eons before we were ever born, that I was spoken forth as a child of God, but I wasn't born, and that spirit inhabited me until September 16th, 1946. That before God created anything else, He not only created a son, but He created all of His other children by spiritually speaking them forth until the time was right that we come into the world. See, when the time was right, Jesus came into the world. But that's true of every human that has ever existed. And Paul is celebrating the fact that we have an inheritance because of that. But the inheritance is because we belong to Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John tells us that God sent His Son into the world to His own people, the Jews, and His own people did not accept Him. And the good news for us is, but to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become the children of God. That by believing in this Jesus, the Son of God, revealed to humanity, we become adopted children into God's family. And if children, Paul says, then heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. So Paul can rejoice about this wonderful inheritance that belongs to us in Christ Jesus by faith. As a part of this family, we share in the inheritance. We're not stepchildren left out of the will. We're not foster children who are just around for a little while and maybe sent back to social services. We have a full share in the inheritance of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That we will share the kingdom with Christ Jesus. That's what He promised to you and me, because we're a part of His family. And when we're discouraged and upset and frustrated with our own earthly family, it's important to know we've got a bigger family. That we could go somewhere and find some love and belonging among these people who call themselves Christians. One of the things the young people were learning about this weekend is if you can't get what you want, figure out what the need behind that is and see if you can substitute something else. Somebody said, I wanted a kitty for Christmas, but my parents wouldn't let me have a kitty. Well, why did you want it? Well, to love it, to take care of it, to talk to it. Okay, great. That's something to want. But Parents have a lot of say-so in things like that. So what could you do to make a difference? And they said, well, maybe I could buy a stuffed kitten. And I could hold it and love it and talk to it too. When things aren't going too well in our marriages, in our families, with our children, with our parents, those kinds of things that can come up day to day, we have a bigger family. We have a place where we can go for a sense of love and belonging, for people to make us feel like we have value and worth, people to help us figure out better choices, a place to go that's maybe a little more pleasant than when things aren't pleasant at home, because we're a part of the family of God. We've been adopted. You know, I knew God wanted this message preached today. Because when I read those scriptures, I went home that night and opened up my paper. And in the family section of that day's paper, you might have seen this color picture of a family here in Fayetteville who had adopted 3 kids from the Ukraine. And I said, thank you, Lord. That's great. That's a good illustration. Of course, when I found out I picked out the wrong scriptures, I was wondering about that. And then I picked up yesterday's family section, the extra for South Cumberland. And what's on the front of that? A single African-American woman who had 2 children biologically, adopted 3 more, and has 2 foster children living with her now. Family by adoption, opening up our hearts and bringing other people into the family. That's the mission God has given us as a church. He freely brings us into His family through His Son, Christ Jesus. And He wants us to reach out and share with people, I've got this wonderful family that transcends anything you can imagine in a human family. And I want you to come and be a part of that family with me. I want you to share that family experience. And it ought to inspire us to be a more loving, caring, sensitive family that builds relationships. And then we'll see the Church of Jesus Christ grow. That's what discipleship is all about. Creating the love of the family of God and then wanting to share it with the rest of the world. You know, it was Jesus that taught us to think of God as Father. And one thing that amazed me when I was reading the Old Testament passage that I had never captured before was in the 9th verse of Jeremiah 31, where God says, I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my eldest son. I'd never picked up on that image in Jeremiah. Just a week or so ago in the scriptures, we talked about the loving image of God as father, as husband. And this morning as I was getting ready to go over to Grace, my daughter called. And she said, Dad, do you have a minute or two? Well, I really didn't. But, you know, when your child calls and you're a loving parent, you need to take time to find out about it. So I said, well, there goes breakfast or there goes something. I said, okay, yeah, I've got time. She said, I've been reading in the Bible. Well, I was even happier then, boy. I mean, if this is about you reading in the Bible, I really got time. And she says, I've been reading in Jeremiah chapter 30. And I thought, whoa. Boy, that's weird. She says, yeah, I've been reading in Jeremiah 30, and I'm not sure I understand this thing, where God's saying that I'm going to give you a new covenant, not like the old covenant. And what's this difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, Dad? I'm not quite sure I understand that part. And I said, well, what does the scripture say there? And she says, well, he's saying the old covenant, like when I led you out of Egypt by the hand like a child. And I was with you in the wilderness like a husband. But you did not obey my covenant. What's that mean? And I said, God has always been a personal, loving God. But many people turn God into this God that's on Mount Sinai. This God who's far removed up in heaven. This lawgiver, this divine judge who's sent down his rule book and he slaps me in the face or on the hand every time I try to do something. And I said, that's what God's people did. They didn't see him as a loving father leading them out of captivity. They didn't see him as a loving husband caring for his wife, for his family. They saw him as the lawgiver. And if you're going to have a lawgiver, you've got to have a policeman. And then you've got to have a court. Then you've got to have a judge. And when you put all that stuff in there, and you got this big, thick law book, it makes religion an outside thing that you try to bring inside, but I don't quite understand it, and I don't know how to do it, but I got to work real hard to have a relationship with God. And Jeremiah is promising, I'm going to give you a new covenant, a covenant written in your heart. And she says, well, then what does that mean, Dad? And I said, that means God wants us to have a faith that goes from the inside out, not the outside in. God wants us to just love him and accept the gift of Jesus Christ into our heart and lives. And that's the covenant. And he gives it to us. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be smart enough. We don't have to understand everything in Scripture. He just does it because he loves us that much. And then we pick up his holy word. And we want to do it because he's just been so doggone good and loving that we want to follow his commandments. We want to learn more about him. We want to talk to him more and find out what he has to say to us. And I said, darling, I hope this call this morning is where you journey in to that inward relationship with God and let him talk to you. You know, don't run out to the bookstore and buy all these other books to read. Pick up the Word of God. But don't worry if you don't understand everything. It's just like we're learning in Companions in Christ. Learn to read the Word of God spiritually. You can study it at other times. But let the Word of God speak to you, because you're a word of God, and you're a word of God, and you're a word of God spoken forth before the foundations of the world that makes you adopted in his family. All you have to do is believe, and he'll do everything else if you'll let him talk to you through the word. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. We're thankful that there are people in the world who know how to open up their hearts and receive someone else into their spiritual family, into their physical family, into their emotional families, and make them feel one with their biological children. That's a marvelous gift. And we pray to you, gracious Father, that as adopted children, we will come to you in that spirit of prayer. Hopefully, everyone was a little uncomfortable earlier in the service when we didn't come to you directly in prayer? Why haven't we gone to God in prayer? Why haven't we prayed? We usually do at this point in the service. And if that made us all feel a little uncomfortable, that means we're used to being a part of the family. There are rituals in the family. They're the way family does things. And when we're adopted in, maybe we're not used to that way of doing things. But we soon, with acceptance and love, learn how to be a part of the family. And as family, we now lift up to you all those who are mentioned this morning, the needs of our world, in the hopes that we have a bigger picture in our minds of what it is to be the church, to be the family of God, why it's important for us to come to you in prayer, why it's important for us to talk to you and share our needs with you, not just for ourselves, but our friends, our neighbors, those we hear about who have tremendous needs. But we need to listen to you too, Father, as you would speak to us, so that we're in a deep, loving, personal relationship with one another, because that's what real family is all about. Therefore, we unite our voices in the prayer of our heavenly brother, Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray to you this way when we say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."